Well, good morning and happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Let's stand together this morning. We're going to open with Happy Day.
Happy day, right? It's also Father's Day, and in just a minute, we're going to do something for our fathers. But before we do that, we have some announcements to go through. And first of all, yesterday, we had our car wash where it was a $1 car wash, and we had people come through. And at the end, it was really cool. They expected to pay a dollar. And instead, we gave them a dollar, and we told them about salvation, that it's Jesus Christ who washes us clean from our sin. And then when it comes time for payment, Jesus paid the price as well. So I got a quick little video here that just shows a little bit of what happened yesterday at the car wash. And I should have had the music at the car wash. That would have been...
Thank you.
to share the gospel 15 times with people, and some people cried. We did notice that one lady, she posted on Facebook and just talked about how great it was to come to 12th Street and get a car wash, and then a surprise at the end. She didn't give away the surprise, but what a cool thing, and it was really neat to be able to just share the gospel. Now we're praying that the seeds of that gospel that was planted, that it will take root in lives, and that some will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, we have a lot more good things going on, so let's take our bulletins here, and a reminder to all those in the intramural softball, the first games are at 6:30, second games start at 7:30, and if you don't play softball, or if you do, if you say, hey, I'd like to come out and try this, come on out. We'll put you on a team, and it's just a lot of fun. We had a great time as it kicked off last week, great time of fellowship, and so I'd like to encourage you to be part of that. The men's softball team, they have a game this week. It is not home, so in the bulletin, just make sure you know it's not at home, all right? The game this week, I believe it's at First Assembly. All right, the church camping trip is coming up on August 12th through 14th. Make sure that if you would like to go to that, that you make reservations online. And Vacation Bible School is 4 weeks away now, isn't it? July 11th through the 14th. And so Brooke has a table set up out in the Welcome Center. And if you could just sign up there to be a part of it. If you would like meals before each Vacation Bible School meeting, the cost for meals for the entire week is $30 per family or $15 per couple. You can't eat a McDonald's for those prices, all right? And that allows you to get here, have your family eat, and then get right into everything great that's going on with Vacation Bible School. The LAC has a meeting July 7th at 7 p.m., and so ladies, I'd like to encourage you to come out and be part of that. The LAC does so many great things, not just here at the church, but in the community as well. And for the rest of the announcements, make sure that you read in your bulletins. The Turkeyville trip, I do want to encourage people, make sure you sign up, because they need 15 people to sign up in order for the bus to go. And then I have another one that was handed to me. Tickets will be available at will call for those who bought tickets to the Growlers game. And if you're going to the Growlers, if you would like to go to the Growlers game but you haven't bought tickets yet, today's the final day to buy those tickets. So make sure you see Cheryl Campbell to get those tickets. All right. Today is Father's Day, right? And we just want to give a little tribute to our fathers here. And then as soon as the video's done, here's what I'd like you to do. I would like you to just, with the people around you, gather up. And if you're a father, then we want to surround you with prayer this morning. And so if you're here with your father, please join your father for this time. And if you're here and you don't have any of your kids or any of your, you don't have a father here, find somebody else and get with them. And here's what I'd like for it to have happen. I would like for children to pray for the fathers, okay? All of you children out there, pray for the fathers. And we'll spend about 5 minutes doing that, and we'll do that right after this video.
Happy Father's Day, neighbor.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, it's a family tradition. Wear your Father's Day gifts all day.
You wore that to church this morning?
Indeed I did. Yeah, it was cute when they were kids, and now they're just trying to humiliate me.
Get out.
I wish I could. But humiliation is their love language. So, how about you?
My teenage daughter got me a coupon for a mani-pedi.
I love a good mani-pedi.
No, you don't get it. She wants me to take her to get a mani-pedi so I can pay for the mani-pedi. Can you take that baby tie off, please?
That's what's bothering you about this ensemble?
I just can't talk to you with it on.
Okay. How about your boy?
He got me a Love Me Tender trout.
Fish me tender. Fish me sweet. Never let me go.
Well, those sound like good gifts.
Do they?
You did not go to church dressed like this today.
Yeah, I guess.
Hey, listen. As fathers, we try to provide. We communicate with grunts more than we do words. We leave the toilet seat up as a conscious act of rebellion. And we don't complain about our Father's Day gifts. That's a father's lot in life, my friend.
It's not the gifts. It's really not the gifts. See this? My daughter gave this to me for Father's Day when she was 5 years old. She said to my wife, "Mommy, I need to get Daddy the best gift ever because he's the best dad ever." She even wrote here on the tag, "Happy Father's Day." She cuddled with this thing every night until she gave it to me. I was this little girl's whole world. 1 year they're getting you chair-stuffed animals, and then in the blink of an eye, it's pedicures and fish. They just grow up so fast. I just want to know that my role as a father matters before it's too late. I am going to get that fish a reservation at Heartbreak Hotel. Our pastor this morning at church said, scripture, a child's glory is their father. That sums it up. That's all I want to be. Just want to make my kids proud, encourage them. Just be the man God called me to be.
Hey, Dad.
Duty calls.
Hey. You are your kid's glory. Your daughter, she's not looking for a freebie. She's saying she wants to spend time with you. And your son, he thinks you have a good sense of humor. I am pretty sure that your kids still think you're the greatest dad ever. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Hashtag dads are awesome.
Hashtag dads are awesome.
All right, so let's gather up around the fathers. Just where you are, let's stand together and let's spend some time and let's pray for our fathers.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, stand with us as we sing Our God.
Forsaken, I'm accepted you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day that you have given to us. Thank you that it is recognized as Father's Day, as well as your day too. Lord, I pray that all of the fathers out there in the congregation have a nice Father's Day after they leave. I pray that the message is soaked in by all of the congregation. I pray that you look down upon us and see the love that we have for you. Pray that this church starts to grow, that we start to do what it is you have called us to do, and the church starts to grow abundantly. And I pray that just everything works out in your glory, Lord. I now pray for the giver and the gift. I also ask that you just forgive us of our sins and where we have fallen you short and upset you at, Lord. Lord, we all love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
at this time, we'll dismiss the children to children's church. And for the rest of us, let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 21 as we are finishing this morning our series on Revelation. And as the children are heading out and we're turning in our Bibles, my daughter Kayla just got her driving permit. And so she got her permit, and I ran and sat in the back seat right behind the driver's chair. And she said, "Dad, you have to sit in the front seat." I said, "No, it's my turn to sit behind and kick you." The father of five small children had just won a toy at a raffle, and he called his kids together to ask which one should have the present. "Who is the most obedient?" he asked. "Who never talks back to mother? And who does everything mother says?" The five small voices replied in unison, "Okay, Daddy, you get the toy." A little child in church for the first time watched as the ushers were passing the offering plates. And when they neared the pew that where he sat, the youngster piped up and said, so that everybody could hear, "Daddy, you don't have to pay for me. I'm under five." Well, have you ever, as a parent, gone to a part of your house, like a tabletop or a countertop, and you know you're trying to do something, and then you realize the mess, and you see the mess that your kids left, homework, or just coloring, or they didn't put their breakfast dishes away. And as a parent, what's your first inclination? To yell at them, right? Wouldn't it be really nice as a parent if you could just go back in time and make it new? Wouldn't it be great as a parent if you could just somehow erase the mess and have your kids fix it the first time? Well, this morning as we read in Revelation, this is exactly what God the Father does. He erases all the pain, all of the heartache. He erases all of the memories of failure. And as a father, God makes all things new. Revelation 21 and verse 1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Now this comes on the heels of devastation on the earth. God has poured out his wrath on the earth. He has fought against an army of people. Jesus won the battle with the word of his mouth. And then for 1,000 years, Jesus reigned on the earth as king. At the end of the 1,000 years, another battle was fought. And this time, all that stood against God were cast into the lake of fire. And then there was a great white throne judgment. And death and hell themselves were cast into the lake of fire. When death was thrown into the lake of fire, there would be no more death. When God decided to put an end to death, he put death itself into the lake of fire. So now all those who are with him, all those in heaven, will never experience death. And so here's, as John writes this, the context of it is that he sees a new heaven and a new earth. "For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. God's goal for humanity is to make us children forever. For him to be Father living with us, presiding over us, enjoying fellowship forever. But, verse 8 says, the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels that had the seven vials or bowls full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. So we see two different descriptions here. We see God as Father with us as children, but now we see a description of Jesus, not God the Father, Jesus, and his relationship with the bride. It's interesting here, the angel, as he speaks to John, says, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. So who is the bride? Who is his wife? Well, the church is the bride. The church is the bride of Christ, living in expectation right now in our time of being consummated with Christ, being able to live with him forever in heaven. Who is his wife? Well, someday the church will be his wife when we get to heaven. But Israel is his wife. How is Israel his wife? Well, in Jeremiah 3:14 it says, turn, O black backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. God has been married to Israel since he entered into a covenant with Abraham. In Isaiah 62:4, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall the land any more be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah, which, if you take that and you translate the word Hephzibah, Hephzibah was the name of the king's wife at the time, it's wife. He speaks to Israel and says, you'll no longer be called forsaken, you will be called wife. Your land will be called Beulah. The word Beulah means married, for the Lord delights in you and your land shall be married. In Isaiah 62 and verse 5, for as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. In Isaiah 54:5 says, for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. In Hosea 2, verse 16, it says, and it shall be at that day, says the Lord, that you shall be called Ishi. That Hebrew word for Ishi is husband. And no more Bali, which means master. You will no longer call God, he's saying to Israel, you'll no longer call me master. He's saying to Israel, you will call me husband. So the vision John sees here, he sees the church who is waiting for the consummation, but now in John's vision, the consummation already took place. The marriage supper of the Lamb has already been accomplished. The church has now been joined as bride to Christ the groom. And Israel has been brought back to him in an establishment of the old covenant. So we have Israel and the church all together now in heaven. And John sees this vision of the bride and of the wife together. And how does he see this vision? Well, the culmination of the church and Israel brought in as one in Christ in heaven It's seen in the New Jerusalem, the city of God. Look at verse 10 in Revelation 21. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Just real quickly, let me talk about these gates. So we always read, we hear stories about a gate into heaven, right? Well, you know how many gates there are into the new heaven? 12. 3 on each side. Okay, 4 corners, 3 on each side. And each gate has one singular object that makes up the closure of the gate, the part of the gate that's solid, that would keep anything out, and that is a pearl. We're going to read about that in just a second. And so you got to imagine the gate kind of looking like that picture that you see up on the wall. And this gate that's a pearl has the name of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. So when we see the bride and the wife of the Lord together, we see them etched into the very framework of heaven. In the gates of heaven, we see Israel, the 12 tribes. Now read with me in verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So now we see in the foundations of heaven, we see the representation of the church with the 12 apostles' names etched into the foundation. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. The city lies 4 square. The length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. So if you measure out the square, because this is it's a cube, actually, that's being described here, it will be 15,000 square miles. All right, that's a pretty good size city, right? 15,000 square miles. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Has anyone here ever heard, when you get to heaven, the streets are made of gold? We know that of the New Jerusalem. I don't know that of heaven right now. If you look at heaven right now, there's really no description given that would lead us to believe that the streets are of gold right now. But in the New Jerusalem in heaven, the streets are of pure gold. But lots of different colors are represented in this city. Look at verse 19. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, 4th an emerald, the 5th sardonyx, the 6th sardius, the 7th chrysolite, the 8th beryl, the 9th topaz, the 10th chrysoprasus, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And so I got little images there of the 12 different stones. And each one of those stones make up the 12 apostles' signature on the foundation of heaven. Go ahead and go to the next slide there. All right, so you have your 12 apostles, and they're the foundations, and each one has a color associated through a precious stone. All right, when you think of heaven, you think of the New Jerusalem, it's more beautiful than anything you could ever imagine. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold. as it were, transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. That is so awesome. There's no temple in heaven because Jesus Christ, the Lamb, and God the Father are the temple of heaven. Verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God is the light of it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, for the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. That means the gates never shut. You know, every city that's ever existed on the earth that had gates, the reason they put gates on them was to keep the bad guys out at night. Do you know what? In heaven, even though there are gates, those gates never close. There's never night. There's never a fear of anybody coming in and overtaking and spoiling heaven. Verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they who are written in the Lamb's book of life. We talked about that last week. Those whose names are in the book of life, they enter heaven. And only those whose names are in the book of life. No one else gets in. But by God doing it that way, nothing that lies, nothing that tricks, nothing that steals, nothing that defiles, nothing that would cause sin is allowed to enter into the new heaven. Chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, pouring out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of it, of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So, there's a tree in heaven. You know, I'm really glad we don't read any mention of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in heaven, but only the tree of life. And the leaves on that tree are for the healing of the nations. We read a little bit earlier that there would be no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more pain. And if you can imagine going to heaven and a loved one not being there, a spouse, a son or a daughter, a mother or a father, you can imagine how difficult that might be. But the great thing about God is when he creates the new heaven and the new earth, when he makes everything new, he takes all those memories that would bring pain and sorrow, and he heals them. And you say, well, how does he do that? I don't know. You'll just have to wait and find out. But he will. I actually had someone, getting ready to do a funeral for someone who, he was an older gentleman who passed away, and his son said, I am not going to get saved. I said, why not? Because my dad wasn't saved. And I cannot be separated him for all eternity. And I said, you know what, I'm very sorry to have to tell you this, but those who die without Jesus Christ don't get to spend eternity with others who didn't trust Jesus Christ. They spend it alone. And don't think that your not trusting Jesus will allow you to spend eternity with him, because it won't. The only hope you have to see anybody in death is to be saved. And those who are saved, even if we're not with a loved one because they never trusted Christ, somehow God, and he can do this because he's God, he will wipe away all tears from our eyes. Look at verse 3. in chapter 22. There shall be no more curse. Yesterday I pulled a weed and it had thorns in it and prickers in it. And ouch! In heaven, there is no more curse. I woke up this morning with a sore back because we were picking up rocks yesterday. One of my favorite activities of all time. Love it. I'm being semi-facetious. And my back was so sore this morning. When we get to heaven, there is no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. You say, what am I going to do in heaven? You're going to serve God. And you're going to love it. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servant the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the saying of the prophecy of this book. I cannot wait for everything to be made new. And you know what? He's coming quickly to do that. Now, he wrote this about 2,000 years ago. So it's got to be coming quickly, right? If he was coming quickly then, he's really coming quickly now, right? Verse 8, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. And he said to me, see that you don't do this. I am a fellow servant, and of your brother and the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he says to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Here's the truth. Those who know Jesus Christ, you are righteous because of Jesus. You are holy because of Jesus. And when you get to heaven, you will always be that way. But those who don't know Jesus Christ, you die without Christ. You are unrighteous. You are filthy. And you will forever be in that condition. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. Second time he said this. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and makes a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. Let him that is thirsty come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And God is putting the choice before us today. You can come to him and he will bring you in. You will never be thirsty for anything again. Because when he brings you to himself, he satisfies. But he only leaves an invitation for you to come to him. He does not force you. For I testify to every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. God wants to do a new thing. He's going to do it through creating a new heaven and a new earth. But he wants to do a new thing in you. In Isaiah 43:19, he says, behold, I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In Isaiah 66:22, he said, for as the heavens and the earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your seed remain. I read that wrong. For as the new heavens and the new earth shall I make. See, all the way back in the Old Testament, God was promising a new heaven and a new earth. In Ezekiel 18:31, cast away from you all of your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart, a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? And here's what God says to us. He says, you want the new that I want to bring to you? First, you have to make to yourself a new heart, and make to yourself a new spirit. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. I just got a 2-point message to finish up with. Number one, God loves to make things new, and so here's what he does. He makes a new heaven. Isn't that awesome? God loves making things new, so he makes a new heaven. But you know what else he does? He makes a new earth. You say, what's the reason for all this? God wants all memory, all record of wrong to be abolished. And so, until the time that he makes the new heaven and the new earth, until God does his favorite thing, here's what he continually does in each one of us. He makes us. In the song, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, your mercies I see. That's what God does every day. He provides for us opportunities to see him and to understand what our salvation does. It changes us. It brings us this new heaven. It brings us this new earth. It brings us these fantastic opportunities for eternity. But even right now, he is making us new. The end of the book of Revelation and this last portion of Scripture given to man allows us to see the heart of God the Father. Through the victory of Jesus Christ, he makes all things new. I remember my dad telling me one day, Thaddeus, don't shoot the ball toward the house, the basketball. We had a basketball hoop in our driveway, and there was one side I wasn't allowed to shoot it because it would go toward the house. And there was a window there. And below the window, there was a slot with about 5 little glass slots there. And he said, don't shoot the ball that way because you'll break a window. Well, I was out there shooting one day, and Dad was home, and I was shooting from that corner. Never got to practice from that corner because I couldn't shoot that way. And I'll never forget, my brother Josh, he goes, Thaddeus, Dad says you can't shoot from that way. I'm like, I am better than that. And I shoot it, and it bounces off the rim, and it flies over and hits the window. Cracked 5 of those glass slots. And all of a sudden, guess who comes pulling in the driveway? Dad. My brothers stayed outside. They kept playing. Me, I ran into the house, went into my room, and hid under the bed. And I hear the door close, and I hear Dad walking toward my room. And the door opens, and I see his wingtips from underneath the bed. You see, in that moment, my relationship with my dad was broken, not because of anything he did, entirely by my disobedience to what he told me. I needed something new to happen because I didn't want to spend the rest of my life under my bed hiding from my dad. And so what my dad did is he looked down under the bed and he said, Thaddeus, get out from there. I'm so sorry, Dad. Did you shoot the ball the way I told you not to? I'm sorry. You know what my dad did? He took his arm and he wrapped it around me. And he told me that he loved me. And he told me that I was forgiven. I never got spanked for that. I did have to pay for new windows. But I never got spanked for it. Because my dad did not want me in relationship with him hiding underneath a bed. He wanted the fellowship. And he was willing to do what it takes to make the relationship new again. Fathers, if you're in broken relationship with your children, your heavenly Father is making his relationship with you new. So now you be the picture of God the Father to your children and make your relationship new. And children, if you're hiding under the bed from Dad, or maybe you're hiding under the bed from God your Father, today God wants to call you out. He wants to wrap his arm around you. And yes, God has all the strength in the world to whoop you bad, but I guarantee you what he wants to do is love you good. And so just confess to him today. And today could be a wonderful Father's Day because you know that your dad, your God, makes everything new. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for these awesome promises in Scripture. I thank you, Lord, that right now you are desiring in each one of us. You love us. And Lord, even when we're in great relationship with you, you want it to grow sweeter and better. And so, Lord, help us. Lord, as we close out this time, if there's anyone who's never trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, there were three different times in this passage where they are promised eternal death. So God, I pray that if anyone here has never trusted Jesus Christ, this morning they would lay down their pride, lay down their self, believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sin, that it was his penalty to pay, that he paid it by giving his life and by rising again from the dead. Lord, if anyone here has never put their faith and trust in you, I pray that this morning they would just say, God, thank you for dying for me. Please come into my life and save me. And Lord, you will do that in them, and you will make a new thing in them. And I just pray for our relationships, Lord. Help us to do what's right in our earthly relationships. And Lord, if there are any of your children here this morning that call you Father, that are wayward with you, hiding under the bed, I pray they would come out from underneath this morning and say, Lord God, forgive me. And we know that you will forgive. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll be standing here at the front. I'd love to talk to you about trusting Jesus Christ. And you can leave today with a new relationship with God. And if you're here this morning and God has spoken to your heart, do whatever God wants you to do. Use the front of the church as an altar to bow before him. Because as we close the service this morning, we're going to sing that he's a good, good Father. And he surely is. And let's use this as a reminder to do what we can to have the proper right relationship with him. Let's stand together.
Stories of what they think you're like, but I
Today, before you end your day, make sure you call your earthly father if he's still alive and wish him a happy Father's Day. And before you go to bed tonight, talk to your heavenly father, because here's what your heavenly father would love to hear today. He would love to hear, hey, Abba, Daddy, here's what's going on. And he would love to just listen to you talk to him personally today. And on this Father's Day, do that for your good, good Father. Let's pray together. Lord God, as we exit from here and we go and we celebrate our fathers and we spend time enjoying fellowship with family and friends, we just pray, Lord, that we would not forget to spend that time with you. I thank you that you are such a good Father. You make all things new. I thank you that you erase regret and you write a beautiful ending. You give us eternity to live with you and serve you. And so now, Lord, unto him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be honor and glory and power from this day and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.